is a list of the characters that are in our story today. And if you remember last week, we talked about the importance of finishing strong. And our main text for the principle came from Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, verse 26 and 27. This is what it said: when a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. For the injustice that he has done, he shall die. And then verse 27 says, again, when a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life. So today we are going to contrast two kings of Judah. Joash is the king famous for taking the throne at the age of 7 years old. And then the other character is Manasseh, King Manasseh, who is the longest reigning king of all the kings mentioned in the for Israel. And he reigned for 55 years. And even though he was the son of Hezekiah, who was a very good king, he was exceedingly wicked. And yet, toward the end of his life, he humbled himself while imprisoned by his enemies, and he turned back to God. So in both cases that we look at, I think it's going to be very easy for us to see how important it is how we finish. How we finish. And it'll be very vital in our quest to be with Jesus in eternal life. If we finish well, it's a very big plus. But if you don't finish well, it can be terrible. And of course, these stories that we're reading about under the old law are written for our learning. So let's see what we can learn today as we delve into these stories. So, if you get a little confused with this story today, don't feel too bad. It's easy to get confused, and I'll tell you why. For example, at this time period that we're looking at, both Israel and Judah had kings on the throne named Jehoram. Now, I realize sometimes Jehoram is spelled J-O-R-A-M, but it's also spelled J-E-H-O-R-A-M. And so, two kings simultaneously held the throne in Judah and in Israel, and their name was Jehoram. So that makes things kind of confusing at times. Also in the mix, we have lots of people that are related on both sides of Judah and Israel. So when Jehoram of Judah died, he was succeeded by his son Ahaziah to become the succeeding king of Judah. So let me say that again. When Jehoram of Judah died, he was succeeded by his son Ahaziah to become the succeeding king of Judah. Okay, well, then when King Ahaziah of Israel, who had no son to succeed him, died, he was succeeded by Jehoram, who was the son of Ahab. So it's a really confusing thing to look at all that. But the story of King Joash of Judah starts with the king of Jehu. So we have to know a little bit about Jehu to kind of get the feel of the story. Jehu was a king of Israel. He was anointed king of Israel by Elisha. Jehu was given the task of destroying King Ahab's descendants and also wiping out Baal worship in the land. You find that in 2 Kings, the 9th chapter. In 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 25 and 26, it gives us the reason for this judgment that God had on Ahab. It says, there was never anyone like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. He behaved in the vilest manner by going after idols like the Amorites the Lord drove out before Israel. God told Ahab through Elijah, I am going to bring disaster on you. I will wipe out your descendants and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel slave or free, because you have aroused my anger and have caused Israel to sin. By the way, did I say that right? God had told Ahab through Elijah or through Elisha? I think it's through Elisha. What? Or was it Elijah?
Well, the story of the Baal prophets, that was Elijah, correct?
Right, right.
Because Jezebel was the one mostly persecuting Elijah.
Okay, so I did have it right then.
Yes.
Okay. God had told Ahab through Elijah, I'm going to bring disaster on you. Okay. Ahab responded to the prophecy with mourning and humility. And this is just a little side note. He had responded with mourning and humility. So God relented, saying that he would not bring the disaster at Ahab's time, but during his son's reign. Now, I don't know if you've ever read that little tidbit, but that's interesting, isn't it? Because Ahab was extremely wicked, and yet God showed him a little bit of mercy, didn't he, at the end of his life. And why did he show him mercy? He showed him mercy because he was willing to relent and change his attitude. And of course, Jehu was God's instrument to fulfill the prophecy. So after Jehu was anointed king over Israel, he set out against Joram, a son of Ahab, and the current king of Israel. Well, Ahaziah was king of Judah at the time and was with Joram. So they happened to be working together, and even though he was king of Judah, Ahaziah followed the ways of the house of Ahab and did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as the house of Ahab had done. Now, why do you think he followed the ways of Ahab? Well, because he was related to them. He was the son of Athaliah, who was Ahab's and Jezebel's daughter. So that's what I'm saying. There was a lot of interconnection going on here at this time between Israel and Judah. So Jehu killed both Ahaziah, king of Judah, and Joram, king of Israel. He executed Ahab's wife, Jezebel. He killed Ahab's descendants, and he wiped out Baal from Israel. That's all found in 2 Kings 10th chapter, verse 28. But unfortunately, as that story goes, a little tidbit, Jehu himself did not walk in the ways of God, but since he had been faithful to God's call to rid Israel of Baal worship, God promised that four generations of his line would be kings of Israel. So there we go again. We see God in his mercy, don't we? Okay, it's amazing, isn't it? Now that we have looked at the background to our story, let's try to begin our story of Joash. All right, take a deep breath and here we go. King Joash of Judah first comes on the scene with Athaliah. Athaliah was the mother of King Ahaziah, whom Jehu had killed, and she took charge of Judah. Athaliah killed all the royal family she could find, but she missed one. And who was it that she missed? And think about this. She wiped out her grandchildren, she thought. But who did she miss? She missed one grandchild named Joash. He was a little baby. And so Athaliah missed this one infant, Joash. 2 Kings 11 and 2, here's what it says. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being put to death. And she put him and his nurse in a bedroom. Thus they hid from Athaliah so that he was not put to death. The child Joash was hidden for 6 years in the temple while Athaliah reigned in Judah. Okay. Athaliah. What a horrible lady. Unbelievable, but look who she was related to. Okay, you see connections there, don't you? Doesn't mean you have to be like your parents or your grandparents or your relatives, but in this case, she was. So in the seventh year, the priest Jehoiada, who by the way was the husband to Jehosheba, he revealed Joash to the captain of the guards. The priest made an agreement with them to provide protection to the temple and the rightful king, and Jehoiada brought Joash out into the public and anointed him as king. So you might say this was kind of a coup, so to speak. The people of Judah rejoiced over Joash's appointment. Why do you think they rejoiced over his appointment? Well, how would you like to be ruled by an evil queen like Athaliah? Okay. There's no doubt she'd done many things that turned the people off. So upon hearing the noise of the ceremony, Queen Athaliah rushed to the temple crying, "Treason! Treason!" By Jehoiada's command, Athaliah was captured by the guards, removed from the temple, and put to death. That's found in 2 Kings 11th chapter, verse 13 and 16. So now Jehoiada then made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people that they would be the Lord's people. So they set themselves on a good course, didn't they, right off the bat. He also made a covenant between the king and the people. See, the people tore down the temple of Baal. Watchmen were set over the Lord's temple, and at the age of seven, Joash took the throne. 2 Kings 12, 1 through 3 says that Joash reigned in Jerusalem 40 years. Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years of Jehoiada, the priest, instructed him. 2 Kings chapter 12 goes on to describe various financial dealings of Joash, and King Joash's main achievement, I think we would say, was making repairs on the temple. And it's quite a deal for him to gather the money up. He got the people to finally give money and to save that money for that very specific thing, and the temple was repaired. It says he also used monetary gift to dissuade King Hazael of Syria from attacking Jerusalem. That's in 2 Kings 12, chapter. So what we just revealed were the good years of Joash, the good things that he did. And we say that he did. Why did he do these things? Where was he getting his advice?
The priest.
He was getting his advice from a godly priest. Not a crooked priest, but a godly priest named Jehoiada. But the tragedy of King Joash of Judah is that after his mentor and guardian, Jehoiada, dies, who did he begin to listen to? There's plenty of wicked advisors out there that's going to lead you astray. And that's exactly who he listened to. Wicked advisors. Joash revived Baal and Asherah worship in Judah. You can find this story in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 17 through 19. God sent prophets to warn Joash. And how did Joash respond to those prophets? He didn't listen to him at all, did he? Not at all. Now, you know, the scripture tells us in lots of places that good advice is a great thing. Ecclesiastes 7 and 5 says, "It's better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the songs of fools." Proverbs 15 and 31 says, "The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise." You know, lots of times we have young people in the church that have good parents, that try to teach them the ways of the Lord. Then when they get out, they go to college or whatever, who do they listen to?
Peers.
Many times they listen to their peers. And look where it leads them. And look where it led Joash. The Apostle Paul told the Galatian brethren, You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who hindered you? Proverbs 15:32-33 says, whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Proverbs 21:30, no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. And then Psalms 1:1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Joash started well and finished very badly. Finally, the prophet Zechariah, son of the priest of Jehoiada, brings God's word to him. But the king did what? He callously ordered the son of his old friend to be stoned to death. Isn't that? That's just totally, unbelievably amazing what sin can do to a person. It's just unbelievable. Joash's reign did not end peacefully. His officials conspired against him and assassinated him at Beth Milo on the road down to Silla. Joash's son Amaziah reigned as king in his place. Alright, we're going to quickly go on to the King Manasseh that we mentioned, who started bad but finished well. We have the opposite picture here. Okay? So we're going to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 1 through 11. And I'm not going to read all that. We don't have time, but I'm going to read the first two verses. It says, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. And here are some things that was listed in those verses. He rebuilt the high places that his father Hezekiah had broken down, and he erected altars to Baal, and he made Ashtaroth, and he worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. He built altars for the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. He burned his sons as an offering in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and he used fortune-telling and omens and sorcery, and dealt with mediums and wizards. The carved image of the idol that he had made, he set in the house of God. What a rebel. What a wicked, wicked person. 2 Chronicles 33:9 says, Manasseh led Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem astray to do more evil than the nations of whom the Lord destroyed before the people of Israel. Now, how much anger do you think Manasseh caused God to feel? And aren't you surprised that God allowed him to reign 55 years? That part just kind of blows my mind. That he was the longest reigning king in Israel, and he was so wicked. But this is really important for us to remember. And don't ever forget the scripture in Romans 9:15 that Paul quotes Moses, and he says, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So as you continue down through that chapter 33, what amazing turn of events takes place. Manasseh is hauled off by the Assyrians, it says, with hooks and shackles, and he's taken away in exile. But Manasseh prays earnestly to God, and in his repentive attitude, his following actions prove beyond a shadow of a doubt he understood who God really was. Because it's pretty obvious that he didn't understand God at all before. He would have never even come close to doing any of those things that he did. But now he understands who God really is. And look at his actions. Look at his repentive state and what he does. He built an outer wall for the city of David west of Gihon in the valley and for the entrance into the fish gate and carried it around to Ophel, and he raised it to a great, very great height. He also put commanders of the army in all the fortified cities in Judah. He took away the foreign gods and the idols from the house of the Lord and all the altars that he had built on the mountain of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and he threw them outside of the city. He also restored the altar of the Lord, and he offered on it sacrifices of peace offerings and of thanksgiving, and he commanded Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. He just did a complete turnaround, isn't he? And this is a very interesting tidbit. 2 Chronicles 33:17. Now listen to this. It says, "Nevertheless, the people still sacrificed at the high places, but only to the Lord their God." Do you remember reading that? I don't ever remember reading that. I've read about a lot of the kings, and it always said they still sacrifice on the high places. But in this particular place, it says, "But only to the Lord their God." Now, most of the time, these people worship on high places, and they worship idols. But here it says, "But only to the Lord their God." It's amazing the influence that Manasseh had on them after he repented. So I just thought you might be interested in that little tidbit. So let me conclude this. Psalms 103, verse 10 through 14 says, "He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love to those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. My little children," 1 John 2:1, "I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John 2:28-29, "And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him." And we know that when the Apostle Paul knew that he was about to be executed, this is what he said, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished the race, and I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Manasseh may have been a real dud. That's not even a strong enough word. But he was a real dud in the beginning, wasn't he? But look how he finished. He finished strong for the Lord. And Ezekiel 18:27 says that he will be saved. So how about you and me? We need to think about this. How are we going to finish? Are we going to finish strong, or are we going to give up? I think we should pray every day for the Lord to help us finish like Paul finished. Next week, we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 6 and 7. We're going to be reading about lepers who chose to share a gift given them by God. Thanks for your attention. I know we didn't get to participate very much in that today, but I appreciate you being here and listening.
If you'd like to stand, we'll sing 200.